I have a few announcements. The men's 6-week study is coming up. It's going to be this next Saturday, 9 a.m. No, we don't have it up there. It is going to be a sweet time for the men just to get together and get in the word and fellowship. So encourage the men, get out there. Bring your sons. Be a great time. Also, we are looking for some more people to cook if they're willing to cook for that. And yeah, come talk to me if you're interested in that. So tonight's message, I'm going to be talking about sweet surrender. And if you want to open up your Bibles to John chapter 12, verse 1. And I want to talk about sweet surrender because oftentimes surrender or giving up control is such a bitter thing. We have such a bitter mindset because we love to be in control. We love, you know, having everything in order. I mean, for you who love cruise control like me, you're driving down the freeway, we're going a certain pace, and then somebody cuts in front of you, and then you have to put on the brakes, and you get frustrated. I get frustrated, right? So there's this thing in us that we love to be in control. And in Jesus, and many times has said, give up control. That's where true peace comes from. Give me control. And that's where the sweetness comes from. That's where the peace comes from. Because when you think about it and you start thinking, I am in control, and things start going wrong, that's when anxiety and chaos start to hit us and we start to panic and we start to hold on to maybe that steering wheel a little bit tighter. But Jesus is saying, you know what? No, let me be the king. Let me be your father. Let me be the one who leads you. And that's where true peace comes from, is knowing that Jesus is in control, that he is our good leader, that he is good, and that he wants what's good for us. Not bad. It's not bad to give up control. And here we see in this passage, we see some different parts. First, we see a family that is very Christ-centered. Their face is fixed on Jesus, and Jesus is comfortable being in their home. Next, we see a woman who is fully surrendered to Jesus. Her life has been laid out and said, here it is yours. Then we see the contrast between a life that is fully given over to Jesus to a life that is filled with greed, filled with self-love that ultimately leads down to a path of destruction. And it says in the Bible many times, the path of wickedness leads to destruction. And we see ultimately with Judas that it does, it leads to destruction. A life that is filled with self-love. And then we see a woman who is criticized for pouring out her life to Christ, and Jesus defends her. Jesus is her defense. Jesus is our great defense. And then ultimately at the end, we see a man whose life has been touched by Jesus, who shines for Jesus, who is such a great witness. So in just these 11 verses, we see so much. We have so much of just beautiful scripture for us to glean from. At this time, as we go through, at no point do I want you guys to think that I'm saying that you have to do this. No, it's something that we get to do, but you don't have to. You don't have to fully surrender to Jesus. You don't. He's not going to twist your arm. I'm telling you, sweet surrender is so sweet because Jesus loves us so much. That's where the peace comes from. So Christianity is not a faith of works. You are not required to do anything, but it's a faith that works. Christ moving and dwelling and living inside of you is going to change you, is going to affect you for the greater. Because you're being filled with peace, you are being filled with joy, and you're being filled with love. So therefore, your life is going to present joy and love and peace. So, in verse 1 of chapter 12, John chapter 12, verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. We see Jesus sitting there, fellowshipping, having a meal with these people, and we see that Jesus has come back to this house multiple times, that Jesus is comfortable coming back to this house to spend time with these people. He is welcomed. He is served. Now, it's something that we have to ask ourselves. I have to ask myself, is my house a place where Jesus feels comfortable at? Are the things on my walls, the things that I have looked at in on the computer or the TV, or I have read, is my house a house of worship? Is it a house of service? Is it a house that is loving? Is it a house that Jesus is in the center of, that Jesus is in the midst of, that Jesus goes, I am happy to be here. I am happy to stay here. It is so important for us to go, yes, I want Jesus to be the center of my home. And it says in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. We want Christ to dwell in our hearts, to be comfortable to dwell in our hearts, right? So we have our physical homes, right? But then we also have our bodies, which are the temple of the most living God. So is our house, physical house, somewhere where Jesus is comfortable? And is Jesus going to dwell? Is Jesus comfortable dwelling inside of you? Or are we grieving the Holy Spirit? Are the things that we're talking about, are the things that we're posting on the internet, are those things that are grieving the Holy Spirit? Are those things contrary to what Jesus has told us, right? Love those who persecute you, right? Love, not hate. Serve. Having that mindset of being a servant and not a master. A house that is fully dedicated, as Joshua said, or as Caleb, for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that mindset, and for dads, you guys might be watching, or dads here, that mindset that my household, or mothers, my household is a house where we are going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to, for people with teenagers, I haven't experienced it, but I fought against it. For me, my house will serve the Lord. So is your kids, are the kids in your house, are they serving the Lord? And it's something that you can't force upon them, but you can, if they're under your roof, go, you know what? I do want to monitor what you are watching, what you are looking at. What are you listening to? And at that age, at a young age, my parents, that's what they told me. And I really was like, I want my freedom. I don't want to surrender. But honestly, now, thank you, Mom, Dad. Thank you. If you're watching this. You're right. Sorry. Surrendering, right? Having a house that the Lord Jesus is comfortable coming in and going, yes, I'm going to dwell here. I'm going to dwell richly here. And then in verse 3, we see, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. So just to give you a background to think about this spikenard, even today, spikenard is very expensive. It's grown in the Himalayan mountains, and it's gathered, it's a root, and it's gathered by the local women. They get the basket, they hike up the mountain, and they get it. And I was looking it up, and doTERRA Essential Oils makes spikenard, and it's just you can buy it, I think it was like $60 for like 2 drops. And I was like, wow. But I did the math, how much a pound of spikenard would cost today, and it would cost $30,000 today's money for us to go on Amazon and buy or wherever. Maybe you've got some discounts. You got the hookup. It would cost $30,000. $30,000. And then we're going to see later on where Judas kind of, you know, goes, hey, that's 300 denarii. So a denarii was about a day's wage. So 300 days of work. So it was pretty much a year's salary. And so we see that Mary takes this very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I read this years ago, and I think, okay, little bottle of perfume, poured it out, took her hair, you know, wipey-wipey, and done. But if you really think about this, and you dig deep into what this meant, this is a very, very, very costly oil. And she pours all of it onto his feet. The spikenard, how did she get it? Most likely, it was given to her from her father. It doesn't talk about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' parents. So most likely, they passed on. And before he passed on, it was so important to have, as a woman, a dowry to give to her future husband. So the father would have given her this. Banks weren't as common, and to have that much money was took up room. So to have a very costly, you know, vial or jar of oil was easier to hold on to. So she took her dowry, what she would have given her husband, and she pours that on her Savior's feet. Then her hair, we still care about our hair. But in that culture, it was so much more. It was so much more. It says in 1 Corinthians, but a woman has long hair. It is her glory to her. Her hair is her glory. She took her glory and wiped his feet. So she was saying, my past, Lord, is yours. What my father has given me, my past, my present, my hair, my glory, it's yours. And my future, my husband, who is going to be her provider, going to be her protector, that's yours, Lord. Literally, this makes me want to cry. This woman is saying, everything I am is yours. Everything. And in my life, control, right? We deal with that. You know, we want so often to be in control, but this woman is saying, Jesus, you are worthy of everything. And I am challenged by that. When I read this story and I really get into it, oftentimes I feel more like Judas. I think more of myself. So when I'm up here, I'm not saying, come on, guys, be perfect. No, I'm saying, no. I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. I need Jesus so desperately. And I'm saying, you guys, Jesus is the best thing ever. The more you study his word, the more you get into it, and the more you learn how great and how loving he truly is and how much he desires to have a relationship with you. Because on your worst day, he is still crazy about you. Mary, she comes in and she pours this oil, and the house was filled with the fragrance of this oil. How can it be that a house that's filled with such beautiful fragrance, right, that this next section happens with Judas? It happens today. We can go to church and we can be a part of an amazing worship service where we're watching the worship team praise Jesus and, wow, that sounded really good, you know? And then a message can be given and that could be really stirring. Wow, yeah, I want to be better. Yeah, I want to serve Jesus. And then we walk away and kind of in a bad mood. You're hangry, you know, sibling or wife or husband kind of ticks you off. Something happens, child, you kind of just, well, I'm in a bad mood. That didn't last long. Why is that? It's because you weren't a part of pouring out the oil. Only Mary and Jesus are the ones going to walk away smelling like that fragrance. Because it was on his feet and she wiped it with her hair. So what I'm saying is surrender to Jesus. Sweetly surrender. Pouring it out. Your everything to him. Now, I was talking to Pastor Mark about this. And he said, what about someone that really does? Go, here's my life. Here's my everything. You think they're going to be filled with regret? I was thinking about that. And we're talking about it. And I do want to say, count the cost. Do not do something in the moment with the feelings. You know, we don't rain glitter down from the air vents. You know, we don't. Yeah, I'm not up here barking in the spirit. I want everyone to think, count the cost. What is Christ asking me to do? Because your call is different than my call. Each one of us has a specific call in our lives that we need to obey, and it might differ. So count the cost. Lord, what is my perfume? What are you calling me to pour out? What are you asking me to do? And this is a daily thing. This is a daily thing. God, how do you want me to use my talents, maybe? What my skill set? What are you asking me to do? The people around me. Because sometimes work, life becomes monotonous. It really does. It can get boring. Just every day. But if you view it like today, God has put me on a secret mission to use my oil in a certain way and to figure out how am I supposed to use my oil? What is God calling me to do? It's your mission each day to find that out. God, how do you want to use what you've given me? My talents, my resources. Lord, will you just use me? And that's a mindset. That's a heart thing. Lord, use me. I want to be used by you. And by doing so, having that mindset to pour out, to serve, to surrender to Jesus, Paul said it so well in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 15. Now, thanks be to God who always leads in triumph in Christ. And through the diffusion of the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Do you guys think that people that walked past that house that night smelt that perfume? Wow, it smells pretty good. What happened? Who's staying there? Jesus. Jesus staying there. A life fully surrendered smells wonderful. It really does. I was at a restaurant one night, and sometimes you get a good server, and sometimes you don't get a great server. And it always is frustrating to tip. Oh, you know, whatever. And this server, he was just so nice. He was just smiling, and he was just being so wonderful. I looked at Gracie, and I said, I think he's a Christian. And Gracie goes, maybe, you know. And I'm like, I'm going to ask. And she goes, I don't. And I'm just like, I'm going to ask. And I say, hey, sir, are you a Christian? He goes, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm like, me too. And there was that instant fellowship. It's something that you can see. There's something different about a life that is given to Jesus. There's a fragrance and there is a glow. There is a glow. So, what I want to say is it's time to stop being a spectator, but it's time to start sweetly surrendering to Jesus. It's time to stop watching the worship happening, and it's time to worship. It's time to stop watching the acts of service be done. It's time to start serving, because that's when you walk away smelling oh so sweet. the contrast. The contrast here of Judas. And it says in John chapter 12, verse 4, but one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why is this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had money, he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. Judas, someone that was maybe not evil. Because when Jesus said, someone, one of you is going to betray me this night, no one went, it's Judas. Oh, that's the guy. We know he's a scoundrel. No, everybody goes, is it me? You know, they're looking at one another. Judas, on the outside, he wasn't bad. But he was taking for himself what was not his. So I want to say to you tonight, has God given you gifts? Has God given you talents that he would love for you to use for his glory, but you're keeping it for yourself? What in our lives are we holding back? Are we being given something? And that's something that I fear so greatly. Lord, am I being given something? And I'm just keeping it for myself. And that's why I'm up here. Not because I'm smarter than any of you. Definitely not. It's not because anything. It's just because I want to be used as greatly as I possibly can. God, use me. And by saying, God, use me, it's found my way up here. Not my works of righteousness have gotten me here. No. But it's the works of Christ through me. That I want to say, you know what? Jesus loves you. Jesus is everything. Jesus is the one that it's all about, truly. And it is very much warned. Paul warns Timothy. He says, in the last days, you know, men will be lovers of themselves. And that's ultimately what we see. And that's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. If you guys want to think about that, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of what is good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. We see that today, don't we? You turn on the TV, right? And that's all you're going to see. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. And I want to be so careful. Lord, help me not to be a lover of myself. Because it's so easy to do. It's so easy to be a lover of ourselves. And we see that Jesus defends her. In verse 7, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. Jesus is standing up for her. And he's not saying, don't give to the poor, right? But in this specific scenario, she is anointing him for his burial. She is acknowledging that he is king, that is, he is her savior. And something that, a verse that's always stuck with me, that I really hold on to, because it's so easy to get offended. We are a culture that is a lot of times fixed on themselves, and people say things that might hurt our feelings. And this verse was definitely not for that. This was for the Israelites in a really bad scenario, situation. But in Exodus 14:14, the Lord says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. So for me in my life, you know what? When something happens, I go, okay, am I serving Jesus or myself? Okay, I'm serving Jesus. So what that person just did or said, that's obviously not from God. And you know what? I can hold my peace. I can go, you know what, Lord? You'll take care of me. You'll take care of that scenario. Because oftentimes, what we like to do is go, you know what so-and-so said to me? I know, they're crazy, right? I'm pretty awesome. Hold your peace. Jesus will fight for you. God will fight for you. Now, in verse 9, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. We see a life right here, Lazarus, that has been touched by Jesus, that is just shining his light before men. We see that Lazarus, it never is recorded in the Bible of him saying anything, but yet many came to believe because of his life. And also, the chief priests were getting all worked up. A life that has been touched. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. A life that has been surrendered, that has been touched by Jesus, is beautiful. It really is. And someone help me out. The guy who wrote Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, a great quote from Tolkien. He said, all beauty reminds. And he was saying that a beautiful painting points to a painter. A sculpture, beautiful sculpture, points to a gifted sculptor. And a good storyteller, right? A good story points to a good storyteller. So therefore, a beautiful sunset points to a beautiful creator. And Tolkien had that mindset. And so when we live for Christ and we live for his love, for his glory, for his peace, our life will reflect that. The beauty of our life will reflect a beautiful creator, a beautiful savior that has saved us from anxiety, right? That has saved us from depression. Now, are we going to go through times of anxiety? Yeah, right? But in those times, go, Jesus, I give it to you. I give my anxiety to you. I give my fear to you. I give my depression to you. Everything. Just, Lord, here it is. It's yours. All beauty reminds. Now, when you choose to serve, what is that? That is setting yourself apart from the world, because the world's reaction oftentimes is not to serve. It's the opposite, right? It was, you know, they want to be served, but Jesus came to serve. And something that's set apart is holy. So by doing something, right, that is unto Christ, holy, you are joining that ancient song of old. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Every time you choose not to lust, not to look at garbage, not to talk bad about somebody, every time you choose not to steal, to lie, to cheat, every time you choose to be a lover of Jesus, to love Jesus over those things, you are saying with your life, you are worshiping Jesus, saying, holy, holy, holy. Lord, you are holy, you are worthy, and you are so great. In my life, I desire with my life to say, holy, holy, holy. I desire through the grace of our Lord and Savior, through his strength, not my own, to say, holy, holy, holy. Because in my strength and my power, obviously, I'm not saying nothing but myself. But through his grace, through his love, through his strength, I am able to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is great, and he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of our everything. He is worthy for us to pour out our offering to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, for what you have done in our lives. Lord, as we have just meditate on your word, Lord, I pray that our hearts would just be fixed upon you. Lord, tonight as we leave, Lord, I pray that we won't leave the sweet aroma of you, Lord, but that we would carry it home. Lord, as we worship you, Lord, I pray that our lives would just show you, Lord, that our lives would say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Lord, you are so worthy. Give us strength, Lord. Give us strength in those times that we are weak. Give us strength when those times we are fearful. Give us strength in those times, Lord, where we are confused. Lord, I just pray that you would give clarity to the people that are confused. Lord, I pray that you would give peace for those who have anxiety. Lord, I pray that you would give joy for those who have depression. Lord, I pray that you would heal the sick. Lord, anybody with ailments, Lord, if anybody's dealing with headaches, Lord, or any aches and pains, Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, that you would heal them. Lord, I pray that you would just go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you all stand?